Mini episode 423 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
This WrestleMania 30, Evan, I have to say, I got accused by some folks of a little bit of prisoner of the moment when I said probably a top five of all time as far as the WrestleManias went, but I'm the kind of guy, I don't know about you, but if there are shows that have bad stretches in them, then I don't want to hear about it. One of our colleagues on the show has really talked up WrestleMania 10 to me. It had 2 5-star matches. I said the rest of it sucked. It was the worst period in the history of the company. You know, why would I care about WrestleMania 10 on balance? So the fact that 30 didn't have any really bad moments to me, and it had some really excellent action. It didn't have anything I think we'd call 5 stars, but it probably had some 5-star moments if we're looking for that. I was just super enthused about it. What did you think?
You know what? I'm going to make you happy. I think it was one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time, and I'm usually a tough marker when it comes to that. But I'll tell you why. What I look for two things. I look for the moment I'm never going to forget, the moment where, you know, 10, 15 years from now, you're like, yeah, I couldn't believe that. And then the surprise aspect of it, because sometimes WrestleMania becomes way too predictable. Like, as good as Austin Rock was in WrestleMania 15, look, we all knew Stone Cold was going to beat him. So it was predictable. As predictable as Batista beating Triple H was when he took the title from him at WrestleMania 21, I think it was the long buildup that made that one of my favorite main events. It was one of my favorite main events of all time because the buildup was so perfect. And even though I'm pretty sure that the WWE did not plan out Daniel Bryan from SummerSlam, even though it was all luck because the crowd kind of hijacked the shows as the months went on, the long buildup and the final payoff of Bryan going over everybody, including the King, Triple H, in that opening match, which was a great match, I think the culmination of making the fans finally get what they want added to the main event, which made it amazing. The match with Triple H was amazing. And then the Undertaker thing. I mean, I wasn't thrilled with Brock Lesnar being the guy, but gee, that may have been one of the most stunning moments in wrestling history outside of Hogan turning heel. So those two aspects in itself, to me, put it right towards the top. And that's why I'm with you. I think it's one of the greatest WrestleManias we've ever seen.
Exactly. And, you know, that was sort of the Bruno and Koloff moment for our lifetime. We weren't around to see that in the Garden back in 71 when everybody went completely silent with shock, but it's funny because it was the same thing, even though we're in the modern age and everyone being smart marks. In that sense, and the fact that the match didn't have a lot of drama to it, it's because it did seem so predictable, like what you were saying. I think that's one of the reasons that the match kind of plotted, and it was, I thought, one of the bigger disappointments of the day, relatively speaking, because everybody was like, okay, just waiting for the Undertaker's comeback to win, you know, pull it out of nowhere at the end. So It was an incredible moment at the end, but yeah, what led up to it? It was the predictability, which in the end was not predictable after all.
They lulled us to sleep. I mean, as the saying goes, they lulled us to sleep with a match that, yeah, you're right, wasn't great, but we just wanted it to end because we thought we knew the ending. And then I think what really topped it off was the way the match ended with the third F5 and then not playing the music, I think was key. I think it was key because you got to hear just the stunned reaction of a crowd. I don't want to call it silence, but it was kind of like this, just this weird reaction from a crowd. And I think the music not playing was perfect. Paul Heyman, who's like a god, that guy's fantastic. Him playing it up was fantastic. Lesnar, even, I give him credit. Like, his reaction of being shocked was great. And then the crowd shots, I mean, was amazing. So it wasn't only the fact that they had him win in such a stunning way. I think the way they scripted out the aftermath was perfect. And, yeah, the match wasn't an all-time classic, but, I mean, it's been how many weeks now, and I'm still kind of stunned by the whole thing. Like, even a few weeks later, it's still like, I can't believe The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania.
It is shocking. It really, truly is. And, again, I have to say, though, one of the – if you read the wrong things on Twitter, I think it can make you lose your faith in humanity. I just kind of blew my stack when I saw one too many people, which I guess would be one for the sake of argument, comparing the end of the streak to the death of the Ultimate Warrior and saying, my childhood is gone. I mean, I'm calling for mandatory sterilization of all the people who conflate that, Evan. You know, they're both shocks. But for the love of God, they're not shocks in the same way. One is actually tragic.
No, that's ridiculous for anybody to think that. And you know what? I think they needed to end the streak. If this was his – see, my whole theory is, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, that this is it. This was his last match. And maybe he realized a few weeks before that he couldn't go again, that this was going to be it. And if he knew this was going to be it, then I'm glad he did lose to Lesnar, because I think a part of wrestling is that you hand the baton off, is that you lose. You don't retire as champion, you know. You don't get to walk away as the king. You kind of have to – now, look, the handoff being to Lesnar is kind of strange. I think we'd all agree with that. But I like the fact that if this was it for him, let him lose. And so I think that's the beauty of wrestling. That's the way it's always been. So obviously comparing it to Warrior is insane. But the more I think about it, the more I'm glad, especially if it's his last match, that that's the way it should end. And this is a guy who, you know, respects the business a lot. We've always heard about that. And I think he probably wanted to lose. And I'm glad he did, even though the guy he lost to is a little strange, especially when he disappears 5 minutes after.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I actually agree with you on that. I've been a proponent of him losing to somebody at WrestleMania before he hangs them up. I actually hoped and thought it would be Batista back in 07. I thought that's what they were building to. Now, history has proven me wrong on that. Batista would not have been the right guy. But, again, it's really interesting to see how it's shaping up. The thing I think that we would also agree was excellent coming out of there in terms of elevating young guys. Cesaro getting his moment with the Battle Royal. An interesting decision putting him together with Paul E. right off the bat there. Where do you think that's going? I've seen rumors about a Lesnar SummerSlam match. I guess it depends on whether or not you believe Lesnar is going to get the title shot at SummerSlam or next year at Mania.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that annoys me about him. Like, if you're going to have him beat The Undertaker, can he, like, stick around, like, have him feud with Daniel Bryan right away or something like that? Instead, he disappears for months and months. But, yeah, the entire pay-per-view is about promoting young guys, with the exception of John Cena beating Bray Wyatt, which I guess he'll lose now at Extreme Rules or something's going to happen with him. God knows what. But I do think that that was kind of like the future WrestleMania. Like, we finally got to see the future of the company instead of the year before, where we're seeing the recycled Rock Cena main event. Now, this year, we got to see the rise of some of the young stars, Cesaro, even Roman Reigns, who, I mean, it's obvious he's going to be a superstar, and obviously Daniel Bryan. So from that regard, it was almost like the WrestleMania ushering the new era.
Well, the thing about Bryan and Brock, where I will give them, and again, I would like to see Brock around more, and again, he's got that really sweet contract. Props to him for working that out. But yeah, they should be paying him more to come in for more dates, because supposedly he's amenable to doing that. I would agree with holding off on him and Daniel Bryan, just because I think that would be the classic thing of booking yourself into a corner by doing it this soon. Daniel Bryan can't lose the title this early, and the guy that beat The Undertaker can't lose his next match.
No, I agree with that. I guess the only problem I have is that Kane has been a joke for how many months now, and I know he puts the freaking mask on and he's supposed to become Superman again, but I have a tough time really buying into Kane versus Daniel Bryan. It should have been, and I understand why they're doing it, because the whole Evolution thing, it should have been Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton, considering Randy Orton technically never really lost the match at WrestleMania, or even Batista and Daniel Bryan, and have Daniel go over those guys, or one of them, or both of them, or what have you. It's tough to buy Kane. This is a guy who 3 weeks ago didn't have a mask on, and he was like basically becoming a jobber. Now all of a sudden he's main eventing a pay-per-view with Bryan, but I get your point. I think down the road we'll see Brock Lesnar, but they've got to figure out a way to get him involved more. I mean, especially since he is the guy that ended the streak.
Well, exactly. And in the case of Kane, it's probably going to be a semi-main event with Daniel Bryan, which I have to say, 10 years later, the parallels are shocking. Short little guy wins the main event in a three-way match, gets put into a semi-main event feud with Kane. If I were Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan said something about wanting to buy a house in the Atlanta area, I'd be pretty shocked and disappointed right about now.
I got to tell you, I did not think of that comparison. So you deserve all the credit and or blame for thinking about that. I have not, to be honest with you.
I have a sick mind, Evan. No question
Clearly.
About that.
Clearly. It's all on you.
Not a surprise to anybody. But enjoy the Nets game tonight, Evan. I have a feeling it's going to go your way. And, again, one more tremendous conversation with us on the show. We thank you so much for that. And
hey,
look forward to
thank
that
you,
time we chat with you.
Thank you, my friend. And remember, root for the Nets because we are the last great hope to stopping LeBron James in the Eastern Conference. Just remember that. We may not do it, but we give the best chance of anybody to stop him. And I know you want him stopped. So if you want him stopped, all you've got to do is do a nice little chant. It goes like this. Brooklyn. Just like that. And hopefully we'll get it done for you.
I hope so. N-E-T-S, Nets, Nets, Nets. Thank you so much, Evan. We really appreciate it. Have a great
Thank
time
you,
tonight.
Man. Have a good one.
Thank you all for joining us today in the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.